green substance that was setting like tar. She tested this one anyway. A few minutes later, she was scrabbling furiously through her notebook. The first sample she'd taken from the pantry, one portion of duck pate, was down here as sample 3. What about samples 1 and 2? No, sample 1 had been the white clay from Misbegot Bridge. So what had been 2? She found it. But that couldn't be right. She looked up at the glass tube. Metallic arsenic grinned back at her. She'd retained a bit of the sample. She could test again, but perhaps it would be better to tell someone. She hurried along to the main office where a troll was on duty. "Where's Commander Vimes?" The troll grinned.
"In the gleam, little bottom."
"Thank you."
The troll turned back to address a worried-looking monk in a brown cassock. "And?" he said.
"Best if he tells it himself," said the monk. "I only work on the next bench."
He put a small jar of dust on the desk. It had a bow tie around it.
"I want to complain most emphatically," said the dust in a shrill little voice. "I was working there only 5 minutes and then splash. It's going to take days to get back into shape."
"Working where?" said the troll.
"None such ecclesiastical supplies," said the worried monk helpfully.
"Holy water section," said the vampire.
"You found arsenic?" said Vimes.
"Yes, sir, lots. The sample's full of it, but..."
"Well?" Cheery looked at her feet.
"I tried my process again with a test sample, sir, and I'm sure I'm doing it right."
"Good. What was it in?"
"That's just it, sir. It wasn't in anything from the palace, because I'd got a bit confused and tested the stuff I found under Father Tubalcheck's fingernails, sir."
"What?"
"There was grease under his nails, sir, and I thought maybe it could have come from whoever attacked him. Off an apron or something. I've still got some left, if you want a second opinion, sir. I wouldn't blame you."
"Why would the old man be handling poison?" said Carrot.
"I thought he might have scratched the murderer," said Cheery. "You know, put up a fight."
"With the arsenic monster?" said Angua.
"Oh, gods," said Vimes. "What time is it?"
"Bingly, bingly, beep, bong.
Oh, damn."
"It's 9 of the clock, said the organiser, poking its head out of Vimes's pocket. "I was unhappy because I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet."
The watchmen exchanged glances.
"What?"
said Vimes very carefully.
"People like it if I occasionally come up with a little aphorism or inspiring thought for the day," said the imp.
"So, how did you meet this man with no feet?" said Vimes.
"I didn't actually meet him," said the imp. "It was a general metaphorical statement."
"Well, that's it then," said Vimes. "If you'd met him, you could have asked him if he had any boots he didn't have any use for."
There was a squeak as he pushed the imp back into its box.
"There's more, sir," said Cheery.
"Go on," said Vimes wearily.
"And I had a careful look at the clay we found at the murder scene," said Cheery. "Igneous said it had a lot of grog in it. Old powdered pottery. Well, I chipped a bit off Dorful to compare, and I can't be sure, but I got the iconograph demon to paint really small details, and I think there's some clay just like his in there. He's got a lot of iron oxide in his clay."
Vimes sighed. All around them, people were drinking alcohol. One drink would make it all so clear.
"Any of you know what any of this means?" he said.
Carrot and Angua shook their heads.
"Is it supposed to make sense if we know how all the pieces fit together?" Vimes demanded, raising his voice.
"Like pieces of a jigsaw, sir?"
Cheery ventured.
"Yes," said Vimes, so loudly that the room went quiet. "Now all we need is the corner bit, with the piece of sky and the leaves, and it'll all be one big picture."
"It's been a long day for all of us, sir," said Carrot.
Vimes sagged.
"Okay," he said. "Tomorrow, I want you, Carrot, to check on the golems in the city. If they're up to something, I want to know what it is. And you, Little Bottom, you look everywhere in the old man's house for more arsenic. I wish I could believe that you'll find any."
Angua had volunteered to walk Little Bottom back to her lodgings. The dwarf was surprised that the men let her do this. After all, it would mean that Angua would then have to walk on home by herself.
"Aren't you afraid?" Cheery said as they ambled through the damp clouds of fog.
"Nope."
"But I imagine muggers and cutthroats would be out in a fog like this, and you said you lived in the shades."
"Oh, yes, but I haven't been bothered lately."
"Ah, perhaps they're frightened of the uniform."
"Possibly," said Angua.
"Probably they've learned respect."
"You may be right."
"Excuse me, but are you and Captain Carrot..."
Angua waited politely.
Oh, yes, said Angua, taking pity. We're... But I stay at Mrs. Cake's board.